Welcome to SCOTUSCast. On June 16, 2008, the Supreme Court decided Dada v. Mukasey, a case concerning the immigration and naturalization process. The court held that an alien must be permitted an opportunity to withdraw a motion for voluntary departure, provided the request is made before the expiration date of the departure period. Juria Jones, an associate in Fragaman, Del Rey, Burnson, and Lowe, discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Jones.
On June 16th, the court issued their opinion in Dada v. Mukasey. And just to quickly recap the facts, the petitioner in the case, a Nigerian individual named Samson Dada, married a U.S. citizen in 1999, after overstaying his temporary visa. The government began removal proceedings against Mr. Dada in 2004 after the couple failed to submit the proper paperwork in order to allow Mr. Dada to receive his green card. After finding Mr. Dada removable, the immigration judge in this case granted Mr. Dada's request for voluntary departure, which would have allowed him to have time to get his affairs in order and then leave the country. Mr. Dada appealed this decision to the Board of Immigration Appeals, and the BIA affirmed the immigration judge sometime in 2005, I think it was late 2005, and then gave Mr. Dada 30 days to leave the country voluntarily. However, 2 days before his departure window expired, Mr. Dada filed a motion to reopen and reconsider his removal and a stay of his removal proceedings pending his motion to reopen. In addition, he asked the court to withdraw his request for voluntary departure. However, after the voluntary departure period had expired, the board denied his motion, finding that he'd overstayed and was in violation of his voluntary departure period and therefore subject him to final order of removal and then ineligible to apply for readmission for 10 years. Mr. Dada then petitioned for review to the Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. While Mr. Dada's appeal was pending, the Fifth Circuit had held in a previous case, Ortiz v. Gonzalez in 2006, that a motion to reopen does not toll the voluntary departure period, and therefore the Fifth Circuit subsequently denied Mr. Dada's petition for review in an unpublished decision. The Supreme Court granted cert in this case to consider the following question: whether the filing of a motion to reopen removal proceedings automatically tolls the period within which an alien must depart the United States under an order granting voluntary departure. There was a split in the circuits. Four lower courts, the 3rd, the 8th, the 9th, and the 11th, had found that the filing of a motion to reopen automatically tolls the voluntary departure period. However, the 1st, the 4th, and the 5th circuits had rejected the tolling argument, and therefore this was the matter before the court. However, in an interesting twist of events, during oral arguments, which were held in January, a number of the justices sort of expressed concern and had a number of questions over something that they declined to grant cert on, was the question of why an alien could not withdraw an early request for voluntary departure. After oral arguments, the court orders supplementary briefings on the question, and the court, again on June 16th, with a 5-4 decision, ruled that aliens, in fact, do have the option to withdraw an earlier request for voluntary departure. In the holding, the court rejected both of the approaches that were decided by the circuits between either tolling and non-tolling. And in his analysis, Justice Kennedy wrote that voluntary departures are as sort of a quid pro quo between the non-citizens and the government, and the government benefits because voluntary departure expedites the removal and avoids the cost of removal. And the non-citizen benefits because he or she avoids extended detention, is allowed to choose when to depart, and can select the country of destination. And therefore, having the tolling would rob the government of their end of the quid pro quo. On the opposite end, the non-tolling, Justice Kennedy wrote, would leave non-citizens or aliens between Sela and Charybdis, and would either have to either ignore the departure date and therefore incur additional penalties, such as Mr. Chadha, and wait for the motion to be resolved, or they'd have to leave the country and therefore forfeit their motion. The court rejected the government's argument that a person granted voluntary departure knowingly surrenders the opportunity to seek reopening, and the court held that the statute did not support this interpretation. Neither the motion to reopen statute nor the voluntary departure statute says anything about motions to reopen for people with voluntary departure, and therefore the court found that there is no statutory language that would put a person on notice that voluntary departure would bar him or her from reopening his removal proceedings if new facts became apparent. However, the court also rejected the petitioner's argument that the filing of the motion to reopen told of the voluntary departure period, and the court stated that the voluntary departure period is an exchange of benefits, and that if a non-citizen or an alien is permitted to stay past the period of voluntary departure and is yet still allowed to depart, then so the benefit of the government of a prompt and costless departure would be lost. Therefore, in reversing the Fifth Circuit's ruling, the court held that voluntary departure recipients must be permitted to unilaterally withdraw a voluntary departure request before the expiration of the voluntary departure period. The court stated, as a result, the alien has the option either to abide by the terms and receive the agreed-upon benefits of voluntary departure, or an alternate to forego those benefits and remain in the United States to pursue an administrative motion. The court recognized that in choosing to pursue the motion to reopen, that would put a person in the same position as someone with a final order of removal. However, in sort of coming up with this compromise solution, the court noted that the government has issued proposed regulations that provides for automatic termination of the voluntary departure grant upon the filing of motion to reopen filed during the voluntary departure period. The court, again, pointing to the pending Justice Department regs, however, said in the meantime, allowing aliens to withdraw grants of voluntary departure, as Mr. Dodd had attempted to do, preserve both the alien's right to pursue reopening while respecting the government's interest in the quid pro quo of the voluntary departure agreement. At the end of its decision, the court noted that a more expeditious solution to the situation would be to allow an alien to pursue a motion post-departure. However, the regulation barring motions post-departure was not challenged in this case, and in addition, the court noted that it was not deciding whether the Court of Appeals may stay voluntary departure during the pendencies of a petition for review. It should be noted that Justice Stevens and Souter, Ginsburg, and Breyer all joined in the opinion of the court. Justice Scalia filed a dissent in which Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Thomas joined. And in his dissenting opinion, Justice Scalia stated that the majority opinion rested on a false premise. namely that an alien who receives a granted voluntary departure must maintain the ability to remain in the country should they later seek to reopen their case. Justice Scalia writes that the court treats this as sort of a necessity, and he states the court's perceived necessity does not exist, and the court lacks the authority to impose its chosen remedy. Justice Scalia compared a voluntary departure to a plea bargain in which a defendant gives up a right to appeal, and Justice Scalia stated that the aliens granted orders of voluntary departure are effectively forfeiting their right to reopen their cases in the limited time in which they must depart. He states, it offers the alien a deal if he finds it in his interest and wishes to take it. Agree to depart voluntarily within a specified period, of course, and you may lose your right to pursue reopening, but you will not suffer detention. You can depart at your own convenience rather than ours, and to the destination that you rather than we select, and you will not suffer the statutory restrictions upon reentry that accompany involuntary departure. If you accept this deal, however, but do not live up to it, if you fail to depart as promised within the specified period, you will become ineligible for cancellation of removal, adjustment of status, and voluntary departure. And he writes, I quote, seems entirely reasonable to me. Litigants are put to similar voluntary choices between the rock and the whirlpool all the time without cries for a judicial rewrite of the law. It happens, for example, whenever a criminal defendant is offered a plea bargain that gives him a lesser sentence that he might otherwise receive, but deprives him of his right to trial by jury and his right to appeal. Justice Scalia further writes, and it's one of those times that you have to quote him because my paraphrasing would not do it justice, but he writes, and I quote, of course, it is not unusual for the court to blue pencil a statute in this fashion, directing that one of its provisions, severable from the rest, be disregarded. But this is done when the blue pencil provision is unconstitutional. It would be unremarkable if the court found that the alien had a constitutional right to reopen, and that conditioning permission for voluntary departure upon waiver of that right was an unconstitutional condition for the court to order that the alien cannot be held to his commitment. But this is not the case here. The court holds that the plain requirement of the statute and of validly adopted regulations cannot be enforced because the statute itself forbids it. And then he writes, and I quote, not so. And then later toward his dissent, he addresses sort of the court's reliance on DOJ's proposed regulations, and he writes, and I quote, but the most problematic of all the court's reasons for allowing petitioner to withdraw his motion to depart voluntarily is its reliance on the Department of Justice as yet unadopted proposal that is in some respects, though not the crucial one, similar to the court's rule. When I reviewed this case back in January, realizing that DOJ had proposed these new regulations, I somehow felt that that, of course, would play into the court's decision. I didn't realize the court would rely somewhat heavily on the regs, given the timing of the regs, but now looking, of course, hindsight being 2020, now that I see that it has. And finally, Justice Scalia writes that, and I have to quote this as well, that today's interpretive gymnastics may have been performed not for the enjoyment of innumerable aliens in the future, but for Mr. Dada alone. In a separate dissent, Justice Alito wrote that because the INA does not address whether an alien can unilaterally withdraw from the voluntary departure agreement, he would remand the case to the board to determine why it had denied Mr. Dada's request to withdraw his voluntary departure. He writes, neither the BIA nor the Fifth Circuit addressed petitioner's motion to withdraw, and therefore the ground for the board's decision is unclear. He writes, if the BIA rejects the withdrawal request on the ground that it lacked the statutory authority to commit it, then the board erred, and as such, otherwise should be afforded discretion to forbid withdrawal as a matter of policy or under the specific facts of the case. So this case will allow an individual to unilaterally withdraw the request for voluntary departure, but they must file their motion to reopen before the voluntary departure period expires. And therefore now individuals who wish to file a motion to reopen can withdraw the voluntary departure and avoid the consequences of overstaying the voluntary departure period if the motion to reopen is not adjudicated prior to the expiration of that period. What remains a little bit uncertain is whether or not the filing of the motion will be construed as a request to withdraw, similar to what is in the government's proposed regulations. The court did note that the proposed regulations warrants respectful consideration, but yet there seems to be a little bit of a murkiness as whether or not the actual filing of the motion to reopen will be considered to be the request to withdraw the voluntary departure. I think on a practical matter, the court's decision sort of still left a little bit of murkiness, particularly for individuals whose cases are in circuits that had held otherwise either the toll or no tolling. The non-tolling, which was the 1st, 4th, and 5th, and the tolling, which was the 3rd, 8th, 9th, and 11th circuit. So there is a little bit of sort of a practitioner's question, but in essence, a 5-4 decision that sort of takes people by surprise somewhat, considering that it deviated from what had been previously held in the circuits below.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.